This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. According to the NAACP, African Americans are incarcerated at more than 5 times the rate of white people in the U.S. This disparity is not a new problem, but it has recently prompted some in the La Crosse area to take action. A local chapter of the group Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE, is working to create a new endowment to help remove barriers for people of color to enroll at Western Technical College and find employment. Joining us to talk about the effort are Pat Lunny from SURGE, Tanya Van Tol, project manager of Project Proven, Western Technical College's reentry program for people who have been incarcerated, and Kamisha Harper, a student from La Crosse participating in the program. Tanya, I wonder if you could start by talking a little bit about how Project Proven got started and, you know, what is the goal of your project?
Project Proven is a grant-funded initiative through the Department of Education, and we have been up and running since 2013, so coming up on 5 years. We've had 2 grants, both from the Department of Ed. Our first grant was, we were one of 3 pilot projects in the whole country. 2 were focused on prisons, and our project is still one of the few that's focused on county jail and reentry programming through that avenue. So we're still quite unique in some of the work that we're doing nationwide. Our goals generally are to help reintegrate people. So we do work with people coming both out of the county. We work in the county jails, both are actually in La Crosse, Monroe, and Trumbull County. So we cover three areas at this point. And then if people are coming out of the prison system and heading back to La Crosse, we'll serve them, as well as people who've been out for a while and just need some extra help and support and guidance along the lines of education and employment.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the programming and assistance you guys offer?
Our programming is pretty extensive, and it has grown significantly, actually, since the inception of the project. We started out by serving La Crosse only, and in the first 2.5 years of the project, we simply offered an employment class on Fridays for women and men. And from that, we built relationships and helped them learn about their opportunities for education and a little bit of employment. We weren't building our capacity as far as engaging with employers at that point because we were too small, but we had about a 30% success rate of people coming out of the La Crosse jail and getting into programming of some sort on the La Crosse campus. So they were either getting their GED or attending adult basic ed classes or getting into college classes. So based on that success, we were able to expand our programming out to the 2 other areas, so Trumbull and Monroe. And in all of those jails, we're offering education and employment. And then in La Crosse, we're also able to help support some of the cognitive behavioral programming and other AODA kinds of classes that are able to help sort of get them transitioned and ready to come out and really be successful in the community.
You know, Tanya, I was reading a little bit about Project Proven, and I saw a quote from a former participant who said that, you know, Project Proven helped them build a sustainable life. That's the way they kind of put it. I wonder if you can talk about maybe what you feel like that means, or if you've heard that from other participants in the program.
So I think that there's sort of an idea out in society generally that people are supposed to get out of jail and get a job. And I do believe that to some extent, but the issue is a lot of the jobs that are available to people coming out of jails and prisons are very low wage, and they maybe don't take into account a person's personality, skill set, and sort of get them engaged into that type of employment. So one of the things that we really focus in on with Project Proven is trying to do different career assessments and talk about what really would get you involved and engaged in that type of employment that you would want to stay and hopefully grow in that arena. And so for some people, they're not ready to go to college right out of jail. There's a lot at stake when they're first leaving incarceration. They have to generally find housing. The majority of the people that we're working with have addiction issues that they're facing. And so just having life stabilizers in place in order for them to be ready and successful in education is something that we're really focused on. So with all of that in mind, we have a coordinator and a case manager who are focused on connecting people with different programs out in the community, including AODA services for addiction and mental health, making sure that they have health care set up so that they are able to access those programs, and housing, transportation, childcare. A lot of barriers that we'll probably continue to talk about throughout this conversation, but if those things aren't minimally addressed, employment and education are not going to be long-term for any of the people that we're working with.
And Tanya, you said the project has been around almost 5 years now, and it's, you know, expanded to Monroe and Trempealeau County as well as La Crosse County. Do you have a sense of how many people have benefited from the program so far?
In the 5 years that we've been in operation, we have served approximately 200 people per year, so that gets us close to 1,000 people that we've touched in the duration of the program. And of that, we still are sitting at about a 30% transition rate for the people who are leaving incarceration and coming into classes, and about a 50% employment rate of the participants that we're working with.
Kamisha, you are a student through the program. You're a student at Western Technical College. What are you studying?
I'm in the Human Services program. I will be graduating in April with my associate's degree in Human Services and also my gerontology certificate.
Why did you want to take advantage of the Project Proven and kind of get involved in the program?
There was a point in my life where everything was going wrong. I was on probation for my fifth OWI, and I have a daughter, and I live in housing, and, you know, the list just goes on, and I wanted to do something different. At the time, I was working at a call center, and I absolutely hated going to work every day, and I was battling addiction, and it was just a lot going on, but I knew that I needed and that I wanted to make a change. So I actually got Tanya's information from a former participant who told me that if I were looking to get into college, that I should contact her.
Tell me about your experience through Project Proven so far. You know, what have been the things that you've kind of engaged with the program on?
The program has been amazing for me. When I first went to Tanya, I applied for the nursing program at Western, and the school accepted me, but the clinical site wouldn't because of my background. And I believe I applied twice, and I got pretty discouraged, and so I didn't go back for like 3 to 6 months. And then I think I got either an email or a phone call from Tanya wanting to know, you know, how things were going, if I wanted to meet in her office. And so I went, and we talked about some different programs, and then she helped me settle on the Human Services program. The Project Proven for me, it was a lot about the relationship that I built with Tanya and throughout the program. It was very, very pivotal in helping me to stay in school. A couple of years ago, I ended up getting in trouble again with another OWI, and I was sitting in jail during finals, and Tanya brought me my finals so that I did not fail my classes, and I actually ended up finishing out that semester with a pretty good GPA. I had a friend pass away right before classes started a couple springs ago, and, you know, I would get calls and text messages from Tanya. She was my case manager in Project Proven, and it would be, you know, in the evenings or on weekends during times that she didn't have to call me, or, you know, that she could have just said, you know, business hours are Monday through Friday. But that relationship, it really helped. It was non-judgmental. Every time you go into that office, you know that you're in a safe place and you can discuss the things that are really going on in your life. And as a student, it's important to be able to discuss those things, because on top of homework and school finals and midterms and all of that stuff, there's life outside of that. So the relationship is like, I don't know, I don't think that I would have gone through with college had it not been for Project Proven.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a new endowment for Project Proven, a local program helping people who have been incarcerated obtain higher education and employment. We're here with Kamisha Harper, a student from La Crosse participating in the program through Western Technical College, Tanya Van Toll, project manager of Project Proven, and Pat Lunny from the La Crosse chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice, the organization raising the funds. Pat, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, what is Showing Up for Racial Justice?
Well, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. Showing Up for Racial Justice is a national network of groups and individuals that are organizing for racial justice. And through community organizing, mobilizing, an education surge moves white people to act as part of a multiracial majority for justice with passion and accountability. So it's an intentional group really brought together to support, especially our local chapter, those people in our community that might not always have the support of the systems in place. And, you know, just hearing Kamisha's story and the relationship that Tanya has developed, this is exactly the type of thing we want to be able to support. Find people that are doing incredible work and support them. Find people that are leading groups of color and find out ways that we can really be involved with the type of work they're trying to do. So provide a, you know, kind of a space to build relationships, skills, and political analysis to act for change.
Pat, when did the local chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE, get started?
Well, back in the summer of 2016, shortly after Philando Castile was killed up in St. Paul, a local leader, activist, and educator, Shondell Spivey, quite a few people know Shondell, he called on white people of La Crosse to respond to the injustice. He specifically said, would white people in my community show up to support people of color? And that the solidarity march that took place in July of 2016 with several hundred people was really the start of people coming together and deciding to do this type of work, but then also to become a local chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE.
Pat, you mentioned that, you know, Project Proven kind of represents some of the work that you guys are hoping to support in the community. You know, I wonder if you can talk about, you know, how you guys kind of became aware of the program and how this idea for starting an endowment for the program got started.
Well, it's really been an interesting journey because there's so much to learn, and this type of work is not easy. We formed a book club about a year ago, and the first book we read was The New Jim Crow. And then after that, we read a book called Push Out. And both of them really, you know, talk a lot about mass incarceration. They talk about the war on drugs, three strikes and you're out, and the systems that are in place that really make it difficult for people of color. And at that point, just kind of an idea started to hatch that, you know, instead of just being a book club and learning about this, what can we do locally? And we were looking at two different options. One was educational scholarship through Western Technical Foundation. And then one of our members knew Tanya and the work she was doing. So we were kind of deciding between both of those, which would be the best way for us to get involved and really try to do something positive locally. And so we met with Tanya, we met with Jackie at the Western Foundation, and what we came to realize is we could do both, because we could set up an endowment through the foundation and have the funds go specifically to people in color, people of color that were working with Project Proven. And I think, and Tanya may be able to address this a little bit more, but the Department of Corrections decides who's worthy of getting into Project Proven and who's selected to be part of the GED classes, those type of things. And I think having a local group that really wanted to help support people of color, brings additional support to decisions being made to determine that more people of color are, you know, allowed into this program, but then also have support once they're set up in the program. So just hearing Kamisha's story made me just realize how much there's so many different layers of what Tanya has explained to us, but to hear the story directly and to hear how monies can be used to help somebody with a daughter, somebody that's really trying to set up a different life for themselves, is exactly what we're trying to be supportive of.
Tanya, you have called this endowment a barrier buster, is what I've seen. And I wonder if you could talk about, you know, what this could mean for students in Project Proven.
Yes, it's actually a very exciting endeavor that we're undertaking here with Surge. And what we've seen is that there are stopping points in people's lives. And for middle-class folks or people who have some level of means, they're more of an inconvenience than a block. And so what we have done through other monies, the Frankie Foundation has been a past supporter of Project Proven as well, has been able to use small dollar amounts to really help impact students' lives in major ways. So the money that the Surge donors are looking at supporting us with would help with things like rent, deposits, childcare assistance, transportation, work boots, work clothes, interview clothes. I mean, small, simple things that really can stand in people's way and be really major barriers for them. This money will help support and we'll be able to help lift people out from sort of those circumstances.
Yeah, can you think of an example of, in the past, some of these barriers that have really impacted students?
I can think of a handful of students who have wanted to take online classes and don't have an access to a regular access to a computer, or they don't have internet connection at home. And we had a gentleman who was homeless at one point and was trying to figure out his housing situation and needed a storage locker to put his stuff because he literally had no place to put his things. He was still working on getting his GED. He was employed. He was doing all of the right things, but there, again, that was a life circumstance that was outside of his control, and we were able to help support him around that. Coming up, we've had a number of students who've been able to come up with the rent money, but not necessarily the deposit. So anything that we can do to help support those students and make sure that they continue down the path and we're sort of taking away those barriers so that they're not stopped in their tracks when they're trying to figure out their life. It's helpful, and they are so, so grateful. I mean, the number of thank yous that I get in my folder is thick, full of just accolades of appreciation for the help that they get. It's telling.
Kamisha, as a student in the program, I mean, I wonder what your thoughts are on this endowment.
I think that it's an amazing thing that this organization is doing. I know that I received a scholarship through Project Proven this past for the last summer semester, and I'm not sure if it came from the Surge program, but it definitely helped me out. Like I said, I am a single mother to a six-year-old, and it helped me to pay my rent, and I still had a little bit left over for a few other bills that I had. So, I mean, these things are so very important. You know, I work two part-time jobs. I have an internship, and I'm a full-time student. So the help is definitely appreciated, like, sincerely.
Pat, you started to touch on this earlier, but I wonder if you can talk about, you know, why you feel like, you know, starting this endowment is a step towards maybe addressing bigger issues of inequality within our community.
If you just choose a comfortable life and you only worry about yourself, you don't create the community that we really need to create. And lacrosse has so many things going for it, but it also, Wisconsin, as you alluded to in the start of the show, has the largest percentage of African-American men incarcerated in the country. And lacrosse is no different to that. And I think for a lot of people, they might see the Black Lives Movement and react and say, well, all lives matter. I think the problem with that narrative is that it really doesn't acknowledge policies and systems that have a significant detrimental effect on people of color in our community. Someone else might say, you know what, my kids have friends who are black, and they're welcome in our house, and we get along just fine. But they don't often see that same individual might be stopped 6 times in a year when they first get their driver's license. Or they might have a whole different paradigm of what they're exposed to. And I was recently at a Black Leaders Acquiring Collective Knowledge function that was really meant to showcase young people of color in the community. And a gentleman spoke out and he said, this is not a problem anymore. We don't have racism here. I've got probably 3,000 friends and none of them are racist. And he wanted the people there to explain why this is still an issue. And I think what Serge is trying to do is say, this is our issue. And this is something we need to be involved with. And we need to really find better ways of creating a community where everyone is valued. And we don't have a caste system where once somebody's been in jail, they're marked and they have a very, very difficult time finding a job. They have a very difficult time finding housing. It's really a double whammy effect that what's already very difficult for them in our community becomes much more difficult. So our efforts with the endowment and with doing this type of work are just really a small component of what we hope is a much bigger community effort to create a different community than what we have at this point.
That's Pat Lenny, a member of the Lacrosse chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice, here with us today to talk about a new endowment Serge is creating to help people of color who have been incarcerated in Lacrosse County and surrounding counties overcome obstacles to higher education and employment. Also joining us is Tanya Van Tol, a project manager of Project Proven, and Kamisha Harper, a student from Lacrosse at Western Technical College. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in Lacrosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Tanya, as someone who, has been working with Project Proven for several years now, I wonder if you have also seen these kinds of, discrimination and disparities against individuals, whether it's because of their race, whether it's because they have been convicted or have been incarcerated. Have you seen these things firsthand?
They show up for sure, and sometimes it's very obvious, and sometimes it's not as obvious. And unless you're looking, you have to kind of search it out. And I did pull some local data that was provided by the La Crosse County Sheriff's Department, and in between December 15th and February 15th of 2017, there was 878 bookings into the La Crosse County Jail. Of those, 76% were white and 19% were black. And then pulling up the census data from La Crosse County, if you look at that, 92% of La Crosse County is white and 1.5% is black. So there is still an overwhelming majority of the people in La Crosse County Jail are white. But you can tell just from those statistics that the data is clear. We have a problem with the number of people who are being incarcerated at a higher rate based on their color, on the color of their skin. So it does. It shows up in just those numbers. We also do struggle, and I can't deny that we have a lower transition rate of the folks that we work with. We have probably the same percentage. We work with probably about 19% of the folks in Project Proven in the county jail. and a very small percentage actually transition over to the college for services. And it's hard to exactly understand why that is, but I think part of it has to do with the institutionalization and just the fear of coming into yet another system where they aren't feeling necessarily welcome, even though we do our best to try to ensure that they do.
I wonder if there is an element to this new endowment through Surge, this new kind of partnership, an element of kind of raising awareness to this problem as well. You know, the fact that this, you know, creating this partnership might also raise awareness to people out in the community that this is a problem here in La Crosse.
I do appreciate the fact that Surge is able to come forth and highlight this in a way that our program has not. We serve people of all races, and the vast majority are white. And so it's very refreshing and actually very great that they are coming in to sort of talk about this, to raise awareness, and have conversations that just do happen, but they happen in pockets. They happen on campus. They happen in the community, but it's our program generally is not focused on the actual race issue. We focus more on the incarceration and reentry barriers that people face. So I'm really happy to partner with Surge and to keep this conversation rolling.
Kamisha, I wonder if you have experienced you know, these kinds of discriminations, these kinds of disparities that we are talking about. You know, specifically, you mentioned earlier that you felt like you were not able to go forward with nursing because you had been incarcerated.
Because I did want to know why I wasn't accepted into the program since I was accepted by Western, and it was due to my background. I found that talking with prospective employers about, you know, my background, it does turn them off knowing that I have, you know, been incarcerated. I have two felonies now. So it is very difficult to get your foot in the door. But with Project Proven, they help you to feel like you're more than just your rap sheet and to be able to prove that to the community.
Tell me a little bit more about what you mean by that.
What I mean by...
Yeah, how Project Proven has helped you, you know, kind of move past this and feel like you can, you know, move past just your, you know, your background.
I am going to be the first person in my family to graduate college. So, I mean, that definitely helps. Having that support, being able to be on campus. There was a point when I was on campus where I was on house arrest, and I felt really bad about myself in the situation, and I was really down on myself. But having that support, those people in your corner that say, you know, you made a mistake, and that doesn't define who you are, you know, being able to have that, because there's not really a lot of support like that out there in the community. I mean, yes, there are friends and family, but to have it coming from, you know, an outside source, sometimes it helps a little bit more. Having someone there when I'm going through the things that I was going through, and to still push me to do my best and to, you know, be better. I'm really grateful.
Kamisha Harper is a student at Western Technical College participating in Project Proven. She's here with us today to talk about a local effort to raise money to help people of color who have been incarcerated enroll at Western Technical College and find employment. She's joined by Tanya Van Toll, project manager of Project Proven, and Pat Lunny, a member of the La Crosse chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice. Coming up, we'll talk about next steps for both Project Proven and Surge. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a local effort to address disparities faced by people of color who have been incarcerated in La Crosse County and surrounding counties. A local chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice is working to raise money for a new endowment for Western Technical College's reentry program, Project Proven. Joining us to talk about how this endowment will have an impact on the community are Tanya Van Tol, project manager of Project Proven, Kamisha Harper, a Project Proven student at Western Technical College, and Pat Lunny, a member of Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE, in La Crosse. Pat, can you talk a little bit about how SURGE hopes to raise money for this endowment?
Sure. Well, we have a goal in 2018 of raising $12,000, and $10,000 is the minimum you need to start an endowment at the Western Foundation. So that is our goal for this year. $2,000 would go directly into Project Proven for funding 2019, and the other $10,000 then would be set up in a endowment. And the way the endowment works is you can start tapping money off of that a year after it's there. And so essentially the principal, the $10,000, will always stay in place, and whatever interest is made can be then used to fund Project Proven. So our goal long term is to raise that to $50,000, so that, you know, you could probably have $2,500, $3,000 every year coming off that, which is, you know, a figure that we worked with Tanya in coming up with. But we're going to have several fundraisers. We've had a lot of good support through a press release that's gone to the newspapers, to the other television stations, and to this radio station, and that's helping us raise additional funds. We're working with accountability partners in the area for a variety of different things, whether they are, you know, informing us on how to best go about this, or also informing us on fundraisers. I think we're going to have a square dance coming up. We've got several people that have volunteered to be part of that. So a variety of different ways of raising money. We are working with several foundations in the area, but we're also trying to be intentional on making sure that the foundations that we approach are also doing this work, and it's consistent with what their mission is. And I think that's an important component of not just taking money, but really, as you pointed out earlier, taking an approach that results in a different community and a different focus and a different way of looking at how we all work together.
Why was it important to SURGE to create an endowment rather than just, raising money to give to Project Proven?
Well, we wanted this to last for years and years, and take a much longer term approach to what we were trying to do to change things. And we just felt that that this might give additional support to what Tanya is doing with her other folks within Project Proven. As you know, grant funding for those type of programs is highly dependent on having monies that come in every year, and reapplying for grants and that type of thing is not easy. It requires a tremendous amount of work. As you probably can tell, Tanya has worn a lot of hats in what she's done in bringing this program to where it is. But an endowment, we felt, would better serve the longer term and then make this available for people in La Crosse for a long time. So in Kamisha's circumstance, raising a daughter here, we want these funds to be available to people for years and years, and that was thinking, you know, we were thinking that was the best way to do that.
Tanya, you mentioned earlier that Project Proven is grant funded. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, more about how the project is funded and kind of what this endowment will mean?
Yes, the grant at this point is funded through September of 2018, and we will have an extension quite likely through December of 2018. So we'll have close to 10 full months of the Department of Ed covering the cost of the project. And from there, we've been working very diligently on a sustainability plan because of the success and the fact that this project is such an important part of the community. We've gained a ton of support community-wide. The county has done a lot to work with us, along with community partners and businesses, to really support what we're doing and impacting lives in an important way. So that is in the works, and we've been working with the foundation and our grants office to really look at what our funding is going to look like post-December of 18. And as far as the CERT funding, it's nice that this is a pocket of money that's available specifically to provide students. A lot of funding sources don't allow for that. We have been able to tap into some foundations and now a surge to directly fund immediate needs of people. A lot, oftentimes with federal grants, that is not an option, and specifically written into grants that you aren't allowed to use funding in that capacity. So we have been able to fortunately use this kind of funding to help support people and make sure that these are just minor bumps in the road versus obstacles that are stopping points.
Obviously, it is still very early. You know, the endowment hasn't been set up, but, you know, I wonder, Tanya, if you have been thinking about or maybe talking with Pat about, you know, how you guys hope to award these scholarships.
We have, and we have, because of the Franke Foundation money we've had in the past, we were able to sort of establish, we established parameters as far as how that money was distributed, and we really do look to CERT to help us guide how they prefer to have funding distributed and what needs are specific that they're looking at. We do know that it's focused on students of color and participants who are coming out of incarceration who are people of color. So obviously that will be our main consideration. But other than that, you know, if they're focused on employment, then what are the barriers for them to get a job? Is it, as I talked about, the interview clothes? Is it a work boot? Is it transportation considerations? If it's education, it could come down to a textbook that they don't have, that they weren't able to purchase because their financial aid wasn't quite ready. So we have different needs for different students, and this money will impact a wide range of issues, and I think that's really important to have that kind of open-ended source of support so that we're not kind of trapped into only supporting one type of barrier.
Kamisha, as a student yourself, you know, I wonder if what you feel like are often the biggest challenges or obstacles that students like yourself face.
I know one of the biggest challenges was the financial aspect. Being a single mom, I didn't really feel like I would be able to afford it, you know, and I am working two jobs, and the financial aid aspect, that really helped a lot. It's also, there's a lot of time. It's not really a barrier, but it is something that, it's definitely something to think about. Having all of these things going on, and sometimes it's a lot to manage. I feel like there should be more of a support system. I mean, I had a great support system with Project Proven and, you know, other people, but I don't feel like everyone has that same support system. So I feel like having support is a really big barrier as well.
That's Kamisha Harper, a student at Western Technical College, participating in the Project Proven program. Here with us today to talk about a new endowment to help people of color who have been incarcerated in La Crosse County and surrounding counties overcome obstacles to higher education and employment. Also joining us is Tanya Van Toll, project manager of Project Proven, and Pat Lunny, a member of the La Crosse chapter of Showing Up for Racial Justice. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Pat, I wonder if there are other projects that Surge is considering. You know, obviously you guys are working on creating this endowment for Project Proven, but, you know, I wonder if there are other things on the horizon.
Well, yes, there are constantly other things. All you have to do is open up the newspaper every day or listen to the radio to just be aware of how many different needs there are. But this past year, the local chapter of Surge found many different ways to show up with people of color to make positive changes in our community. One of those was a collaboration with Kids First Equity Now, and that was fundraising and distributing over 120 books to the La Crosse public schools and their students. And that collaboration was really set out to develop a more inclusive and historically accurate curriculum. We've also continued on with our book club, and we are reading a book now called Emergent Strategy. Is really how do you create sustainable movements in a society and in a community. And so that's been really, really a good book from the standpoint of the first two books we read were really heavy, and we read a chapter at a time, and it was good to have a group together as we process through those, as we're, you know, working now with setting up the endowment. It really helps to have a book that kind of supports how you do this work longer term. We have our orientation meetings that take place, and we have a number of other things that people can kind of keep track of on our Surge Facebook page. And I think more than anything else, we're an organization that tries to empower people to take up their own learning on this topic, to really show up in situations where collectively we can bring a stronger voice to people that are trying to make change in our community, whether that's the Ho-Chunk community, the Hmong community, the African-American community. Where are those places that we can have a presence and listen to what's needed, and then support the people that are leading those organizations in a way that supports them and creates a better community?
Surge is a national organization, and so I wonder, Pat, if you are aware of other chapters that are that have been looking at this issue of incarceration of people of color and helping break down barriers.
Aware to a certain extent, the folks down in Madison actually came up and did a bunch of training for us early on, so that we kind of understood the mission of Surge, the vision, the shared values, and that's what we're trying to carry on. And when we have orientation meetings every other month for people that want to just learn more about Surge, it's about an hour meeting. And then the other months we have, whether it's some theme to better understand what the work we're trying to do, or better understand a national or local issue. And so those things kind of change depending on what's happening and who's running the meeting. So,
Tanya, you mentioned that Project Proven is working on focusing on sustainability, focusing on the future. I wonder what you feel like are going to be next steps for this program.
I think more community partnerships and community engagement is going to be an essential key. Having ongoing discussions and actually talking about and sort of tapping into some of the root causes of incarceration is going to be very, very important. I think the more that we can connect with community partners as far as addressing the basic needs and even some of the prevention that we don't really work with juveniles, and I think the more that we can work with family systems
and work holistically with people, because when we have people incarcerated, it doesn't just impact them, it impacts their family members, their children, their parents, their grandparents. So not only is it a family, but it also impacts neighborhoods and the community as a whole. So looking at it very holistically is an important aspect in a direction that I would like to take this in. Also, just having more ongoing conversations about how people who are leaving incarceration, their paths aren't linear. We have Kamisha on the phone with us, who is a case in point. She met me when she had not been incarcerated for a time and then eventually went back to jail within the program, and that's not, her story is not unique. That happens actually quite often for a variety of reasons. And so making sure that we have systems built to really accommodate folks so that they can continue on their journey even with issues that arise, it's really, really important. And to really remove some of the stigma, the shaming, and the blaming that we put on people with criminal histories is going to be very essential. And I think employers are feeling this. Our unemployment rate is super low at this point. Employers can't find workers. And so how can we sort of lift those stigmas so people can get jobs and become really contributing members of our society in a positive way?
That obviously is a big issue, addressing this stigma against people who have been incarcerated. And, you know, I know there's not a simple answer, but I wonder, Tanya, if, I don't know, you have seen ways to address and you know, overcome this issue, if you've had success maybe in that endeavor in the La Crosse area.
The more conversations I have, the more I have the ability to sort of negate people's sort of built-in assumptions and opinions about people with criminal histories. I think even just having this program on campus and having staff, faculty, and other people interact and see that people, Kamisha said it beautifully, that her criminal history does not define who she is as a person. And even the fact that there's probably a lot of people that she interacts with on campus who would have absolutely no idea that she is technically a felon, right? So if the more that we can connect people and bring their kind of humanity to the front, it really, it's not us against them. It is us together, and we are way more alike than we're different, no matter what our backgrounds are. And so I know that sounds very kind of pie in the sky, but I think that is a huge part of what we've been able to do is break, that's how we're breaking down the barriers for people, is having conversations, building those connections, making people feel like they do belong at Western, that there is a place for them. The entire campus is really having conversations about equity and diversity, and these conversations have been growing significantly in the past 5 years I've seen it, and it's very, very exciting. And so just making sure that we have a place and people feel that they're welcome and that they can connect, that's a huge part of what we're trying to do, and that's why I'm so engaged in this work, because it's a huge passion for me and it's what drives me to do this every day.
Kamisha, you know, as a student who's been involved in Project Proven and, you know, could potentially benefit from this type of surge endowment, but, you know, also a member of the La Crosse community. And I wonder what you hope comes out of this new partnership and the work of Project Proven.
I hope that it's spread to other colleges. I hope that it is something that can be implemented all across colleges, not just in the area, but, you know, maybe one day across the United States. I feel like everyone deserves a chance to feel like they are worthy of something greater than what they've been through. I hope that Surge is able to keep showing up and keep doing what they're doing. They are tackling a problem that's not only just in our community, but is kind of a really big thing in the U.S. today. I'm really glad that these programs exist, and I hope that they are able to expand and gain momentum, because they both tackle really important issues that that need to be heard.
We've been talking with Kamisha Harper, a student at Western Technical College in La Crosse through the Project Proven program, Tanya Van Toll, project manager of Project Proven, and Pat Lunny, a member of Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE, in La Crosse, about local efforts to address discrimination faced by people of color who have been incarcerated and to help break down barriers to higher education and employment. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.